Good morning and welcome to the talk show sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, 917. Scott Hardy, glad to be along with you. And normally this time we talk about things with the Quincy Park District. Well, Rome Frerichs, the executive director, is not here. He's probably, he's a hardworking guy. He's not taking a golf day. But what we're going to tell you more about is some of the recreational activities that the Park District currently offers. And a couple of those folks who are in charge of those are here. Go ahead and identify yourselves and let people know who you are.
Kyle Jacoby, Quincy Park District Recreation Program Manager.
Okay.
Ben Klingner, Recreation Program Manager for the Quincy Park District, and I run all the youth and adult sports.
All right, very, very good. And how are those programs going? Ben, Kyle, whichever one of you wants to address that first, how have your programs been going so far this summer?
They've been going very well. We've been very busy. We're just finishing up kind of our really busy part of the year, which is our spring and summer seasons. We had just completed our girls' youth softball and our youth t-ball, 3-on-3 basketball, sand volleyball, and tennis just wrapped up within the last several weeks to a month. Now we're just kind of gearing up for our fall soccer program, which is one of our bigger programs, which usually have around 750-800 kids, which will start next Monday, and that will be at the Paul Dennis Complex in the evenings, Monday through Thursday. And then we just started this week our men's adult softball league, which is on Monday and Wednesdays up at Blessing and Pepsi Field at Upper Mormon and Mormon Park.
How is that league doing, the men's softball league?
The men's softball does pretty well. We've, since I've been at the Park District about 5 years, have always been in between about the 10 and 12 team range. I know softball in general has kind of declined a little bit. We don't have a co-ed softball league anymore. I just haven't had the numbers, but our men's softball has held really pretty steady, in the 5 years that I've been at the Park District.
Very, very good. Because, yeah, I know that over the last few years there had been kind of an outcry about nobody's playing softball. Well, you know, people get older.
Right. Yeah, it seems like younger people are adults now are kind of, doing more, pickleball or, the golf, stuff like that. And, yes, it seems like the adult softball just kind of isn't where it was maybe 10 or 15 years ago. But like I said, our numbers are usually pretty steady, and there's definitely interest in the area. You can see by our leagues and other leagues in the area as well.
And that's good. That's good to hear. It's also good to hear about the interest in youth soccer, and the fact that you have the Paul Dennis Complex now just adds so much to that, because that's basically all it's dedicated to.
Yeah, absolutely. That's pretty much just a soccer complex. We have anywhere from 7 to 8 fields that we use there at a given time when our leagues are going on. Like I said, it's pretty much packed Monday through Thursday. There's not a lot of open parking spots, so which is a good thing. That means it's being used. And I know it's really nice to have a dedicated soccer facility for our youth that's getting used a lot, and it's being used for soccer leagues and for practices and those kind of things.
Yeah, it's just one of those things though where it's like the further along in the fall you get, the more you have to kind of watch out for the fields, because sometimes they get a little wet, they get a little muddy, and you can get ruts and stuff. And there's only so much that the Park District can do to kind of even those fields out. I mean, just it's kind of a hard thing to do, really.
Yeah,
it's hard to get them back up and running after there have been any ruts or anything put into them. Got a lot of seeding and groundwork to get done.
I think people really get spoiled, those who either watch MLS or especially if they watch the Premier League and in Europe, and it's like, well, look at their fields. It's the weather, because it's England especially, because it's always that their kind of weather is always perfect grass growing weather, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And when you have like dedicated staff and that's all they do every day, it's a different animal. It really is. Like you said, seeding, if you were to try to seed that in the fall in October, you'd have to keep people off for a couple of weeks.
Yep, you have to keep everybody off just to make sure that it gets growing and good and not mow for a little bit.
Yeah, and nobody wants to do that in the fall, so that's why you just kind of have to, that's part of it though, when, in the youth leagues, you just kind of have to move around those ruts sometimes and just to kind of persevere on. Ball will still go in the net if you kick it, so yeah.
We do have a little bit of a break between we have a spring league too, so there's a couple months where we still have people that will use it, right, but it gets at least a little bit of time to get treated and worked up and kind of maintained a little bit better. So when we start our fall season, the fields are looking pretty good, in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and like I said, that is a great addition to the Park District lineup. So I wanted to just check about that. So what else is going on with the Park District and with your programs as well? Because I know there's a lot, and I imagine there's a lot of programs that folks don't really know a lot about.
Right now we have registration open for our youth mountain bike skills clinic. That'll be October 5th. It got rained out in March, so we rescheduled it for this fall. We also have our family entertainment in the park. That is September 4th with Diane Rockwell, who is a ventriloquist. So if you want to come on out for a free ventriloquist act, that's from 6 to 7 at Mormon Park Large Shelter. Okay, and we also have our fall festival coming up October 2nd. That is a Thursday night from 5 to 7 p.m. at Mormon Park up by the batting cage. We have a Special Pops Christmas Dance December 3rd. That'll be at the Holiday Inn. It is an RSVP event, and you got to do that by November 24th, and it only costs them $3. We have Spooky Campfire event going on October 10th on Quincipi Island from 6 to 8. Pumpkin Madness, which is pumpkin painting, on October 14th on Quincipi Island from 5:30 to 7:30. And then we also have Star Parties in September and October from 7 to 9 at the Villa Catherine. That's just come on out and look at the stars. That's September 18th and October 16th.
Well, that's great. That is great because, I mean, you know, that time of year, it's the perfect weather to do it, to view those as well. Mm-hmm. So that's wonderful to see. And you just kind of sit on back and listen to whomever's doing the teaching and tell you which stars are visible, really.
Yep, see what planets are out, what constellations you're going to see. They have all that ready for you. The Astronomy Club with John Wood is leading that for us. So they are out at John Wood this month. They have a star party one day this month. So if you want to get out for that, look up their Facebook, and you'll be able to find that as well.
All right. Tell me about the mountain bike course that you're offering. I'm guessing that's going to be pretty popular.
So, yep, our youth mountain bike clinic that usually has around 18 to 20 people sign up. Kids learn all the etiquette on the trails, on what to say when they're going around corners, how to stay steady on their bike when they're on trails, and just kind of figure out what to do and how to get through a trail without falling down.
Right, and also probably what to wear.
Yep, so make sure they have on their helmets and their shoulder or pads and everything that they want just to be safe.
Right, exactly, and of course those bikes are a little bit different than the street bikes that you see out where folks are riding around, so yeah. It takes a little bit more care, but I imagine it really is worth it.
Yep, they have a lot of fun.
It sure does sound like it. So, and I'm guessing it got canceled in March because it was just March and the weather wasn't cooperating.
Yeah, it was just too wet.
Yeah, so. That happens in March. It does. So folks, I tell you what, these programs all sound great that you want to take advantage of. And I imagine on your there's a place on the Park District's website where you can keep track of these things.
Yep, it's on our calendar. That's on our website on the front. You can look at the calendar, or you can go into our signing up website as well. And it's all listed there as well, and it all says right. Everything that's free or anything you'd have to pay for.
Yeah, and even if something is free, you still want folks to sign up, right?
Yes, that way that we know how many people to account for.
Right, exactly. So I'm going to ask you guys to do some prognosticating. Do you see the events that you're holding, do you see these events increasing in popularity as you go on each year, and do you think that will continue?
Yeah, they're slowly starting to increase after we've made them. A couple of years it usually takes for people to realize this is going on in the fall. So just to make sure that people know and get the word out is the main thing. And then just seeing if there's so much going on in Quincy that there's not as much going on those days.
Yeah, because between now and the end of October, like I've said already a lot of times this week, people are really trying to squeeze in all the fun things they can do before the weather turns.
That they are. So we also have a movie in the park in September 26th, and we're doing Wicked, and that'll be at Paul Demas Soccer Complex, and it'll be a drive-in type movie.
Oh, okay. And which field or which part of the park is it going to be by?
So it'll be on the parking lot, so it'll be on the north side, the screen will be, and then everything down will be good. The front couple rows will keep still for people to sit in, and then the back you can just do drive-in.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, because that way you're not bothering any neighbors or anything like that, and yeah. That makes sense. So, and again, people just need to sign up for that and get registered for that? Or
That one's just come as you please. You don't have to register. So it'll be going on September 26th, and it's Wicked. It's the new one. So just come out and have some fun.
All right. Very, very good. So plan on that, folks, so that way you don't miss it. And again, the website, it's a loaded website. I know Marcel does a great job of viewing and updating that to get all the information. It's just quincyparkdistrict.org, right?
Yep.
Okay, very, very good. So hopefully everybody is doing all right in terms of, like, you know, competing and not too many injuries and people having fun, because I know you guys must hate it more than anything if you see trends on social media where people are arguing at, like, youth games and things like that.
Yeah, no, we mean it happens. I'm not going to say we don't have any incidents, but we've been lucky, and I mean, I've been lucky. It's very rare that happens. You hear about it, like you said. You know, you see videos and hear about new stories and other communities and stuff happening, fights. And I'm not saying we don't have some issues that crop every once in a while, but for the most part, it's, like I said, it's very rare and might just be a handful of times. So I think we have a great community in Quincy that is respectful, you know, during games and can conduct themselves professionally. And so we've been really fortunate, I think, on that front that at least right now so far we haven't dealt with a lot of those issues that I know that, you know, the other communities are dealing with when it comes to youth sports and fights and things like that.
Well, that's good to hear that everybody realizes that it is for the kids, so that is good to hear. Ben, Kyle, thank you both very much for being here. Appreciate it very, very much. Sounds like a jam-packed schedule of activities with the Quincy Park District here over the next couple of months. Guys, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. We're at 9:29. We're going to take a break. We'll update you on the latest commodity prices from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. It's on the way for you here on the talk show sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee on WTAD. Thank you so much, Kent. We appreciate the report, and we'll get another one from the IRSA Farmers Co-op coming up in the next hour. 9:34 here on the talk show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee. And for the next 25 minutes or so, we're going to have a discussion about grief and about a local group that is meeting and how teaching people how to deal with grief. It's called Grief Share. And in studio to talk more about this is Jim Leeson and Deacon Harry Kramer with St. Anthony of Padua Parish. Gentlemen, thank you. Go ahead and push that mic, Jim, right up there. So, all righty. Thank you both for being here. Appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You bet. Tell me where did the idea for Grief Share come about?
The idea came about, I lost my wife 8 years ago, and I was in grief, and I attended a grief share program that was started in Hannibal, and I went through a couple of different sessions there, and when I finished, about halfway through the last one, I was kind of a little knock on the door, anointed, and say, bring this back to Quincy. And at that time, Deacon Harry they were looking for a program for St. Anthony's, and he contacted Father Tom, and Father Tom said, when can you start? And I said, tomorrow. And that's how it all got started here in Quincy.
Well, that's great to hear. That is great, because it takes a special kind of person to have something, like, pretty much one of the most awful things that you can have happen to you. And instead of just burying yourself in the feelings of grief, you decided to act and really to share with others steps and ways to deal with the grief and to handle it. I'm not going to say contain it, because you really can't, you know, you really can't, can you?
No, you can't contain it. It's one of those things that grief kind of stays with you. The first couple years or so, it's more intense. But as it goes on a little bit, it still stays with you, and things just kind of pop up.
Yeah.
But you have the tools that we give them in Grief Share to help them get along with that. Grief Share is a wonderful program. We provide a safe environment over at St. Anthony's. This will be our 16th grief share that we have done there. And we have also started in other places in Quincy also. Back to the point, the grief share provides the safe environment. It also provides the classes that go with that. It's included in videos. There's a workbook that goes with it. And then there's a group's session where they can talk about where they're at in their grief. And we have found that people, after the first couple of sessions, start to open up and share where they're at with their grief, whether it be young, old, or whatever. We provide that comfort that they need.
Yeah, it's. I was thinking about it while you were telling me about this. It came to my mind that we all experience grief at some point in our lives, whether we're children and we lose a pet, you know, or later on in life when we lose people close to us. But nobody really teaches people what to do and how to handle it and the best ways to handle that, to deal with the emotions you feel, and to move on and to honor those people that you've lost. Nobody teaches that.
No, very correct. I mean, it was all, when we grew up, it was all hush-hush type thing. But today, it's a sort of a different approach to grief. That you get it out of your system so you don't carry it the rest of your life in different ways. You know, you can go into different aspects in your life where you can begin to either bury it or go into other addictions in that sense to just kind of cover up the grief that you're really feeling. So, but this gives the guidelines for people to go straight, so to speak.
Yeah, in a way, I'm sensing this is kind of like, you know, with the group settings and learning things in a little bit, it's kind of like dealing with other addictions that you mentioned, just the fact that you're in a group setting and you're kind of telling people you can be honest with yourself and you can be honest with us and express what it is that you feel and not be afraid to express that feeling.
That's very true. And for the fact that people can come and cry if they need to, show their emotions that way. Some people come and are very closed, but they learn from others in the group setting what other people are going through also. So it's a learning experience for them as well as the leaders that continue. We have a team of 5 people right now that help assist do that at St. Anthony. I would like to mention that it's a non-denominational program. So that's not just because we have it at St. Anthony. It's a non-denominational. So we accept anyone that is having grief.
Yeah, and that and at some point in your life, that's everybody, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it really is. I imagine if you guys have been leading some meetings, and I just to let you know, I kind of, you know, I learned this in therapy. You can almost see when people walk in, almost at a, you know, based on their body language, kind of what stage they might be in, just from how they hold, you know, they carry themselves. Can't you?
That's absolutely true, and I think one of the things that grief share stresses, and one of the things I've learned. And being a part of it is that everybody's grief is different. Mm-hmm. We oftentimes think, well, you know, I've had my loss, and gee, I'm feeling pretty good, and it's been 6 months. But somebody else may be a year, 2, 3, 4 years still struggling. And so everybody's grief is different, and there is no timeline on grief. That's the other thing that research tells us and our experience tells us, too. That you can continue the grief process for a very long period of time. And grief share does help, as Jim said, give you the tools on how to manage your grief and grow through the process. But everybody's grief is very different. And oftentimes you can get a sense of where a person is at even before they sit down. But we don't judge. We're there to be supportive of people, regardless of where they are in their grief process.
Right, and like Jim mentioned earlier, just the fact that it could be a couple of years, and you think, I've got this licked, and then they'll either hear a song, or they may see like a place, or just something that will trigger a memory of that person, and then it brings it all right back.
That's very correct, yes. Yeah. Yes, it's just an interesting walk with grief, one that you can only experience by going through it. And it's just neat that we have a support group that will help people do that, because otherwise people are very lost.
Yeah, yeah. And getting back to, you mentioned other addictions, and boy, oh boy, I know that if you talk to people in like on the judicial side of things, law enforcement, they note that, you know, addictions do lead to crimes, either, you know, covering up for things, trying to deal with feelings by medicating as well. They say that a lot of times it's mental health issues, but at the same time, it can also be grief, right?
Oh, definitely, yes. It's interesting. It just buries itself. I call it the crazies. I found out that it's just a whole different experience that happened to me overnight, and I wasn't prepared for it. You can't be prepared for the loss of grief, whether
yeah.
it be a parent, child, whatever, like you say. And the program is a 13-week program, and there's lessons that each week it progresses. We have a workbook that the people work with on a daily basis that helps them write out their feelings, that they can come back the next week and kind of talk in the group about it. And then the biggest part is that we found in the group that socialization and that bonding that they get, that they found somebody that understands what you're talking about.
Right, right. I'd like to get a lot more into the steps that you take in grief share on a week-to-week basis during the program. We'll do that when we come back. We're talking about grief share at St. Anthony of Padua Parish here in Quincy, along with Jim Leeson and Deacon Harry Kramer. We'll be back with more here on the talk show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee on WTAD. WTAD 947, welcome back to the talk show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee. Scott Hardy with you. In studio now, it's Jim Leeson and Deacon Harry Kramer, and we're talking about Grief Share, which is a 13-week program that is held out at St. Anthony of Padua Parish to help people deal with grief and the fact that it once it happens, it's something that's going to be around for a very, very long time. And what I wanted to do now is kind of go through the 13, it's a 13-step program, 13 weeks. I just wanted to start with week one. Somebody walks in, what would they expect to see on the first week?
So the first week is a sort of an introduction week. We kind of introduce people to what Grief Share is, and we begin by gently helping them understand what grief is. And what their, you know, how their feelings are understandable given the fact that they've had a loss. And so at the beginning, it's just say, this is what grief is. You know, these are some of the feelings you may be having. And it's okay to be not okay. And to help to get them to get comfortable with that. You talk about addictions. We warn people early on about avoiding trying to escape grief through drinking or through shopping or other things. And so that's kind of where we begin. We then move into allowing them to understand sadness and loneliness that comes from losing a loved one, especially someone like a spouse or someone that they've lived with like a child. There's profound loneliness that oftentimes accompanies those early weeks and months, and even the year of grief, learning to live without that physical presence of that person. Grief Share talks about fear and anxiety, which, again, oftentimes accompanies a loss. What's my life going to look like now? Where do I go? How do I take care of one thing or another that my partner or a parent has done for us? Grief Share gets into anger that oftentimes accompanies grief. And we, again, talk about accepting those feelings and understanding that it's understandable that you have anger with your grief, and then we give them some tools as well. We talk about regrets. We talk about grief and your relationships. It's amazing how the loss of a loved one can affect relationships, both in the family as well as your social or even work relationships. And so we talk about how to experience some of those things, and again, some tools on how to manage it. We can get in. We talk about faith, and again, we're non-denominational, but the Grief Share does look at the Bible for guidance, and so we encourage people to take a look at their faith relationship as well. And we accept that there are going to be questions for God at times, sometimes hard questions, and so we allow them the channel to ask those questions, if you will, and give them hope in understanding that. And then finally, hope and resilience. You know that yes, this is very difficult, but it does get better, especially if you use some of the tools that are offered. You can start feeling better. You can become functioning more normal again. Social relationships may change. You may have new friendships evolve. And so we sort of end with that kind of hope and growth going forward. We never say we move on. We say we move forward, and we carry our loved ones' memories and love with us as we move forward. Never moving on. That implies we're leaving somebody behind. Yeah. Don't do that. But we try to move forward.
Yeah, exactly. Because like you said, as long as they're in your memories, they're always going to be there, and there's going to be times when you feel that weight and that sadness. I wanted to get back with something where you were talking about when people had questions about what am I going to do. I'm guessing you don't just simply answer that question for them. You kind of show them just the fact that, in a way, the path that they want to choose is up to them.
Mm-hmm.
Would you think that would be an accurate description?
Yes, that would be very accurate, because it's basically, once they get some of the knowledge through the videos, there are 13-week videos also that explains a lot of that, that are excellent. They get to the various points of that. And it helps them create a fact that, okay, I can move forward, and I can overcome, or straighten out what I need to do. And one of the biggest things is the friendships that you had before a person passed. You understand that they are really no longer sometimes your friends, because they don't know what to say to you. Most of the time, people don't know how to address a person that has went through grief. And so we give them those tools to give the people to protect themselves from things that are said that are necessarily helpful, that they can avoid those.
Yeah, I think people try to do that in part to make the other person feel good, but also to kind of just like, thank goodness I had an answer for them. Mm-hmm. But really, I mean, and disagree with me on this, wouldn't you think that sometimes, or a lot of times, the best thing that somebody can do is just say, hey, if you ever need to talk, if you ever need to vent, if you need to yell, I'll listen. I'll be there for you, and I'll just be with you.
That's one of the things that we offer in the fall. Towards the end of the meeting, we do have the group sharing. Information that's shared is very confidentially. We pride ourselves on the confidentiality that we afford members, so that they can feel that freedom. And we impress upon the need to, what's said here stays here, kind of thing. Right. But we don't replace one-on-one therapy, and we want to say that. Sometimes we'll encourage people to seek out counseling. If anything, we maybe compliment that. But we don't want people to feel that we try to sell this as something that you should do in lieu of counseling. Sometimes one-on-one therapy is a good thing to do to get over a certain aspect of your grief. And so we encourage that for those that feel they need that.
This, for some people, this could almost be like a doorway to do that, to, you know, to be around others who are going through the same thing, and kind of like saying, it wouldn't be a bad thing to talk to a professional with a thousand-yard view of things to move further forward.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. And you kind of hinted at it, that sometimes friendships do end, things do change, just because of shared experiences and, you know, grief from the loss of somebody. That's a big change.
Yes.
That is a huge change. So
some folks find it hard to approach an individual who's lost someone, like a son or a daughter or a spouse even. Others are uncomfortable. They don't know what to say, so I just avoid them. And that can be hard, too. And so, again, GriefShare gives some tools. First of all, it helps people understand this does happen. You have not done anything wrong. And then some ways to maybe help approach people, how to respond to that. And to say, you know, you may have some new friendships develop now,
yeah,
as time goes by. And that's okay, too.
Yeah, it's interesting. Several of our advertisers on our morning show, they deal with end-of-life issues, like a Monument Company, one of the funeral homes. And we always tell them to pre-plan, you know, get that out of the way so you don't have to have all these stressful conversations in the few days after you've lost someone. But you really can't do that with grief, can you?
No.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so I tell you, folks, if this is something that interests you, if you are going through this, what would be the thing to do for people that you would want them to act on this and to become a part of the next 13-week cycle with GriefShare?
We begin tonight with the first meeting, and we meet at St. Anthony's at 6 p.m. There is a GriefShare starting at Blessed Sacrament Parish, I believe, tomorrow. I think they run theirs during the day. At 10 o'clock in the morning, yes. I understand that Madison Park has one going as well. So there are a variety of churches that do this. If you're wanting to come to us, you can just come out to the parish this evening, or you're welcome to call the parish office and let them know that you're coming. But just come. You don't have to necessarily register. We're prepared for any number of people to come out and just come through the doors. Sometimes the hardest thing to do the first night is just to walk through the door.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we're going to be there waiting for them. But just come out to St. Anthony's on St. Anthony's Road and know that we're there for you.
Will that be in the church, Deacon Harry, or the church hall?
It's the parish center right next to the church.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And there's no cost to the people. Everything is provided to them at no cost.
That's
workbook and everything.
Oh, that's great. I've been to a few picnics, so I know exactly what you're talking about there. It's one of the best picnics in the whole area, so I urge you to go to one of those. But folks, this is sounds like a great way to help you deal with grief and to learn the tools in order to deal with it in the days and weeks and months and years ahead, because we all are going to go through it. We all are going through it in some way. Like Jim admitted, you know, he went through it. We all go through it. And this is a great way to get started. And it can also lead you, if you need more help through a therapist, get the help. Don't be afraid. You'll just make yourself feel better and more in control of your life if you go through this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So, and again, if folks are, you know, you mentioned that the meetings are tonight, tomorrow at Blessed Sacrament there at 8th and Adams as well. That'll be like around 10 o'clock, Madison Park as well. I imagine the easiest thing to do would just be to look up GriefShare online, and you can just find all the information about that.
Absolutely. They have a fantastic web page with lots of good support information. Our program is listed there as well. You know, we run 6 to 8 on Thursday evenings as well. And but yes, the website gives you a lot of good information. You can actually register through the website, and I get an email that says so and so is coming to your GriefShare tonight. So it's kind of neat.
All right, so go ahead and check that out there. Just look up GriefShare online. You can even get signed up for tonight's meeting at St. Anthony of Padua Parish there on St. Anthony Road. Jim Leeson, thank you for bringing this program to the area. Deacon Harry, thank you both for being here. Appreciate it very, very much. It's a discussion we need to have more of. We really do.
That's correct.
Yeah,
thank you very much for having
yeah.
us.
Absolutely. We appreciate it.
Especially, you know, population here is a little bit older, so it's, you know, it's...
They need it, yes.
You're right. You're absolutely right. We need it, because it is going to happen. So be prepared to deal with it. All righty. Stay tuned. The Ramsey Show is next. It's 10 o'clock. Good morning.